I don't think it's been shared anywhere else. My favorite hip hop platforms haven't mentioned it. I've listened to podcasts. They haven't mentioned it on a podcast. And so I think it's safe to say that this is the world premiere of this leaked audio of a reference check for Kanye West that didn't make it to Jesus is King. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to another episode of the In My Own Words podcast. Round of applause. I am your host, Tony R. Sanders. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this wonderful Sunday. I hope it's a wonderful Sunday wherever you are right now. And I'm not going to lie, man. I was about to crack the mic and jump on here and, you know, smile and do my thing because I enjoy what I do and I really do enjoy this podcast. But today, I'm not going to lie, I'm just in a bad mood. I got BME right now. I got bad mood energy. I got bad mood energy. So y'all about to get a bad mood pod. But here's the thing about doing a podcast. It's twofold. One of the things is this. When you express yourself, right? Expression, in my opinion, is a form of therapy. You know, a lot of times you go sit on the couch. If you've done this before, you know they get you to talk about things. They get you to express yourself and really dig deep into what's going on with you, which I think everybody should do all the time anyway. Whether you're at therapy or not, you should just become more insular about what you're doing. But at therapy, they force you to do that. And so as a podcaster, especially sitting here alone, it's very easy for me to just vent and get it out and express myself as a form of therapy. That's one side of it. Here's the flip side of it, though. When you are listening to this podcast, you're probably doing it as a form of escapism. Let's just be real. You're about to head into the week, or maybe you're already in the midst of your week. You're at work. You're sitting at your desk right now in your cubicle. Your desk mate won't leave you alone. The person sitting next to you, beside you, in front of you, get on your nerves. There's craziness around you, and you just want to zone out, do your work, get your check, and go home. So you don't want to listen to a podcast about somebody else's problems. How do I know that? Because I don't want to. Podcast is a form of entertainment, and entertainment is a form of escapism. We want to escape our world and get into someone else's. So that's the twofold thing of the podcast. It's like, man, I can come on there and express myself, but when I got BME and I'm giving them the BMP, I can't be too, you know what I mean, expressive about those things. And so it's interesting. By the way, my old job had crazy amount of acronyms, right? And so going to the new job, I thought I'm probably about to get away from the acronym world. Wrong. I don't know who it is at these corporate entities that think all of these acronyms are okay, but I work at a job that's full of acronyms, and so I didn't get away from that at all. I do have to tell y'all one thing that's giving me a bad mood right now, and I'm only telling this story because I think it does have some entertainment value outside of just pissing me off. I went to Walmart. Now, if you know me, you know I think Walmart is the devil. I hate a Walmart. Like, if you think we're friends and you want to continue that friendship, the worst thing you can do is ask me to go to Walmart with you. Because now I'm not even going for me. I'm going for you. I don't need anything. I'm just going there and support you. And I don't want to support nobody that much. I just don't. I'll go for my wife, of course. That's different. If my kids need something, there's no other options. Maybe. But I hate going into Walmart. And the reason why I hate it is because nothing good ever happens to me at Walmart. I go there. They don't normally have what I'm looking for, what I need. If they do have it, it's not in the quantity or the shape or the price that I would want to pay for it. The service there is not great. The people there are rude. The place is disorganized. The place is nasty. It's gross. It's dirty. And I just don't like being at Walmart. Ever since I read an article about how every Walmart makes their parking lot slant towards the store so that if you were there and your car was like in neutral, it would automatically roll right up to the Walmart. Like, they are at that level of nasty, right? They have a certain amount of time they want each customer to stay in their store because the amount of time the customer spends at the store equates to a certain dollar amount for them. So they arrange things at the store in a certain way to make you waste and lose time. I don't want to go into a Walmart deep dive because that's not how we're starting the podcast. That's not what this podcast is about. But man, when I tell you I hate a Walmart. So I went to Walmart. I was suggested to go there to get some gloves because this winter here, it was 29 degrees. I was going to a football game in which I would be standing outside for 3 hours, right? Going to support my little brother. So I needed some gloves. So I wanted to go out and get some gloves. Where can I get gloves at a short notice that's close to home? A Walmart. My other option was JCPenney, and I'm telling you now, I should have went to JCPenney. But I go to Walmart, I identify the gloves, I walk up to the gloves, I grab the gloves, price check the gloves are good, I go to the checkout line. I don't want to talk to none of these Walmart human beings. I just don't. Because they don't want to be there, and neither do I. And so that is not going to make for the greatest of conversations, because neither one of us want to be here right now. The only difference is they giving you money, and they're taking it from me. That's the only difference. So I go to the self-checkout line. Now, when I get to the self-checkout, it's crowded. It's busy because most people, I assume, feel the way that I feel about Walmart. They don't want to be there either. They don't want to interact with these people either. They want to just get out of there. And look, if you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube and you work for Walmart, I just want to say this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what you're one of the ones. You don't want to be there. You know you don't want to be there. I worked at Sam's Club. A little bit different. Up on the hierarchy of retail. I'm not going to lie. Step above Walmart. But still, you don't want to be there. And we both know that, okay? So let's not act like you want to be at Walmart. And when we both know you don't want to work at Walmart. So I go to the self-checkout area. And the guy that's covering that area, I don't know what you call him. He's not a cashier. He's not ringing people up. He's not a manager, which I'll tell you how I know that later. He's just like the self-checkout attendant, I guess we can call him. Because he's attending to stuff in the checkout area. At least he should be. Instead, what he's doing is watching battle rap on his cell phone. I'm serious. I can't make this up. He is watching, I don't know, Murder Mook and Lux battle each other on stage on his cell phone at the front of the Walmart. Not paying attention to customers, not assisting anyone, not helping anyone out. So I wasn't upset by that because that's kind of par for the course for Walmart. That's what I expected when I went into a Walmart. When I knew I had to go there, that's what I expected. So I went to go check out. I said, you know what? I need cash back. So I'm going to get $40 cash back along with my gloves so I can go to the game because at the game, they're going to ask for cash, right? So I need to have cash on me. So I go to get $40 cash back. Now, at the end of my transaction, because I'm ringing stuff out, there's chaos all around me. I'm texting on my phone. I was negligent. I couldn't remember whether or not I asked for cash back or not in the system. Because I've done this before where you go to Walmart, you ask for cash back. And some registers don't give cash back, even though it'll say yes, it won't actually give you cash back. Some of them, the button will pop up. Do you really want cash back after I've already told them twice that I want cash back? So anyway, something happened. I checked out. I grabbed my receipt. I looked down for the cash back. Nothing came out. And so I said, oh, maybe I'm just at one of these registers that didn't give cash back. And so it just doesn't come out. They won't charge me. It'll be all good. So I go to leave the store. I get to my vehicle. I said, you know what? I forgot. I'm dealing with the devil. I'm dealing with Walmart. And Walmart deals in lies and deceit. Walmart comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So I looked at my bank account. I looked at my receipt. And I noticed that my purchase was $40 more than what it actually cost, the items cost. And I looked at my receipt. And they charged me an extra $40, which means there should have been some money coming out the cash register, but it didn't come out. So I go back inside. I go up to Battle Rap Buddy and I said, yo, this machine did not give me my $40 back. He said, oh, man, that's crazy. That's messed up. I'm like, yeah, I need my $40. And so I give him my receipt. He looks at it. He says, you need to talk to a manager. Take this to customer service. I said, all right, cool. I go up to customer service. There are 4 workers up there and not a one of them working. Not one person working. They're all up there chit-chatting, you know, I don't know, chatting it up. And it took me a while to get one of their attention and say, hey, customer, I don't work here. Help me. I need help. So she said, what do you need, sir? Just like that. I said, look, this machine didn't give me my $40. I want my $40. Supposed to get cash back. It didn't come out. Said, okay, you need a manager. I said, cool. So she pages the manager. Manager comes up there. She takes the receipt. I give her the same story. She goes in the back to get the money. I'm like, cool. She comes out of the back without the money and says, hey, how do I know you didn't get the money out? I said, you know what? That's a fair question. You don't know that. But the buddy at the front, the self-checkout attendant, he's the one that sent me up here. Oh, well, I need him to come and tell me that he saw you not get the money. I said, okay, go get him. So they went and got him. He came up there and he looked me dead in my face and says, I've never seen him before. I said, fam, you just saw me. You just sent me up here. Oh, I mean, I seen you that time, but before that, I've never seen you in my life. I said, yeah, that's because you was watching battle rap videos when I went up there. And she said, sir, we can't just take your word for it that you didn't get the $40. We're going to have to check the cameras. So now I'm already running late, or I'm about to be running late for my little brother's game. They make me wait for 20 minutes for some plainclothes guy to go check the camera. I guess he worked in loss prevention. He comes back from checking the camera and I see him walking towards me. So I go to meet him. He has my receipt. I'm like, yo, give me the deal. What happened? He walks right by me like he doesn't see me. I kid you not. The buddy that was with him that works in loss prevention too said, hey, here's the guy right here. It's the guy from the tape. He just walks by, ignores me. He whispers something to the manager and the manager just starts yelling. Oh, no, we can't do that. That ain't our fault. We can't do nothing about that. Nope, sir. I'm sorry. We can't do nothing about that. I said, what do something about what? Like, what happened? She said, nah, we can't do anything about you. Somebody stealing your money. And I said, who stole my money? She said, well, the money came out and you didn't see it and somebody took it. I said, no. I need to see the tape because I stood there and waited for the money to come out. So now the loss prevention guy wants to speak. He wants to chime in. He says, you know what? You did stand there and I did see you look for the money and it didn't come out at that time. But as soon as you turned around, it popped out. And as you were walking away, the lady behind you in line grabbed your $40. And because we did what we were supposed to do with the money coming out, we can't give you your $40 back. So now here I am down $40, giving you the Bad Mood podcast, Bad Mood Energy on a Sunday to start your week off. You're welcome. Send a letter to Walmart because it's their fault. I know you're wondering, wait, did the story end there? Did you just leave? Not exactly, but that's where it ends for the sake of this podcast because we got stuff to get to. We got things that we need to talk about. We need to talk about what's going on right now. We need to talk about this renaissance that's going on in media. Now, I saw Byron Island on The Breakfast Club. Hopefully you saw that. I thought his interview was incredible. I've known a little bit of Byron Island. But watching him on The Breakfast Club was incredible. If you don't know who Byron Allen is, he is a owner of a media company, several media companies, one of the largest media companies in the country. And he owns the Weather Channel. He's African-American, a black guy that owns the Weather Channel, which is impressive. So far in the last couple of months, we've seen Tyler Perry open up the largest movie production studio, movie and television production studio that we have, bigger than Paramount, bigger than Disney combined, which is just ridiculous. A black man buying over 300 acres and naming 12 sound stages after African Americans. Matter of fact, let me give a round of applause for Tyler Perry because that is super, super dope to be able to go from, you know, someone making plays on the quote unquote Chitlin circuit to owning your own production studio where films like Coming to America 2 and Bad Boys 3 are currently being filmed or probably recently wrapped up. We see that. We see Byron Allen purchase the Weather Channel, which I believe was actually last year. And we're seeing a lot going on in black media. And I mentioned this before, but I'm super excited about what's going on in black media because it's a scene that I want to be a part of, right? I want to be in the conversation or contributing to the scene of what's going on in black media and hip hop media and just media in general, right? That's one of the things that as black people, it's a frontier that I believe that we should have a strong stake in. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to eat more and more of the quote unquote market share of media away. We still have a long way to go. But I think it's important that we have a say-so and representation in the media. And here's why. And I know you're saying, why are you saying black media and not just media in general? Here's why I'm saying black media specifically. No one can tell our stories better than us. And it's important to tell our stories because it's important that with the programming that we have as a society, especially in America, radio programming, TV programming, and now we can even say internet programming, it's important that we are the ones in control and telling our stories and in control of our portrayal, our portrayal of what a black person is. There are people who I know personally and that I've heard secondhand stories of as well that never seen a black person outside of TV or a movie until they went to work or until they went to college. I've worked with people that have told me, hey, since I've come here, I've never seen an actual real live black person. I've only seen one on TV. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's still a thing that happens. You could work in small town USA, middle America. I'm in the Midwest. You could work in small town USA, grow up, raise a family there. No black people in your neighborhood. No black people in your city, your county. No black people at your school, and never hear about black people in the history books outside of Martin Luther King. You can easily escape images of black people, real images of black people, if you're a white person living in America. You just can. It's just the way that the system is set up. And so the only time you can see or interact with a black person is on TV. And so you see characters in sitcoms going way, way back in the day. You see Good Times, and some white people think that that's how black people live, right? And then you saw the Cosby shows, and everyone said that's not real. There's no black family like that, right? But outside of that, if you don't watch those shows, let's say, or didn't grow up in that time, the what you think about black people could be what you see on the news or what you see portrayed in TV and media. And so it's really important that we take control over our own portrayal of them in the media, in movies, in TV, internet shows, whatever form of media that we can get into and show the vast spectrum of what it is to be black, to show people that we're not a monolith, to show people that we are not all of one thing, all of this thing or all of that thing, right? Or whatever the news is saying that we are, or whatever the character in that TV show is portraying, or whatever the character in that movie is portraying. We are such a wide-ranging people, just like all people are. And I think it's really important that we have that representation in media and in content to show, you know, people growing up, not only of the opposite race, different race than us, but also for our race. I think about my daughters and what they see on TV and what they watch on YouTube and Hulu and Netflix and all these things. That's painting a picture of what it's like to be black, or what it's seeing, how the world sees us as black people. And so I'm super proud to see what Byron Allen is doing. I'm super proud to see what Tyler Perry is doing. There are a lot of other people that are creating content in this space. I'm super proud to see that, and I'm super excited to think that on some level, whether it's at the local level or just my neighborhood level, or, you know, 100 people watching this or whatever the case is, listening to this, that I'm contributing to that scene and this period of time in media with all of these great people. Definitely at the other end of the spectrum. All right. I'm not confused. I don't think that I'm producing content at the level of a Tyler Perry or a Byron Allen or anybody in that realm. But those are the aspirations that I look up to say, man, one day I can create something that big. One day I can create something that may live in a theater. One day I can create something that may live on TV, so to speak, right? And now I'm creating things that live right here on this device, on this phone, and it's really a thrilling thing to me. And that leads me into Eddie Murphy's Dolemite. When I'm watching Dolemite, by the way, if you don't know, Eddie Murphy released a movie on Netflix called My Name is Dolemite is My Name. It is a section of the life story of comedian Rudy Ray Moore. Now, I was familiar with comedian Rudy Ray Moore. Don't even ask me how. I think I may have seen one of his album covers at the record store when I used to do music and was looking for samples. I would go to the record store and dig through the crates of vinyl records and ran across Rudy Ray Moore. And the Signifying Monkey bit was always one that was popular to me. And so I was already interested in the movie because I'm aware of Rudy Ray Moore. I'm aware of the character Dolemite, but I'm also super aware of Eddie Murphy and his work. And we don't get to see Eddie Murphy a lot. Eddie Murphy is one of my comedic heroes and one of my acting heroes. Like, I can go home right now. I said go home like I'm not home now. I could go upstairs or in the other room right now and watch every Eddie Murphy movie ever. Let me take that back. I'm not going to act like he didn't make Mr. Church. I'm not going to act like he didn't make Pluto Nash. I'm not watching Mr. Church and Pluto Nash, right? I'm not watching A Thousand Words, right? But I can go back and watch 48 Hours, another 48 Hours. I can watch all the Beverly Hills Cop series, Trading Places. He has so many iconic movies. You know, The Clumps. I can go back and The Nutty Professor. I can go back and watch these movies right now and just still have the same level of excitement that I did when I first watched them. And so Eddie Murphy is one of my heroes. So when I'm watching Dolemite and I'm seeing his story of trying to break down barriers when it comes to Black content and trying to just the hunger and the desire that he had to just want to break into the industry. He was like, look, I can do it this way, that way, or that way. It don't matter to me. I just want in the industry. That resonated with me so much because for people who have followed me over the years or people that know me personally, they know me to be a man of many dreams, I should say, right? There are several different things that I may chase down, right? You may have interacted with me the first time through a blog named Coffee and Commission, right? Where I was talking about sales, posting a blog 3 times a week, sending it right to your email. You may have gotten introduced to me that way. You may have gotten introduced to me on Periscope, you know, watching my live streaming show, Good Morning and God Bless. You may have seen me as a comedian doing stand-up on stage. You may know me from doing music. Maybe you listen to some of my mixtapes that I put out on my album, me rapping and being a song creator. You may know me from my family vlogs. You may know me from doing this podcast just in itself, right? Kind of doing the radio style thing, standing behind a mic, talking, sharing my opinion on things. There are many different ways that you may know me. You may know me as a training person or the HR guy, but it's all centered around storytelling and communicating and trying to tell not only my stories, but the stories of others in a entertaining, inspirational way, right? Hopefully inspiring you in enough to, a way to go chase whatever it is you want to do. And so when I'm seeing Rudy Ray Moore or Eddie Murphy's portrayal of Rudy Ray Moore, and they're saying, well, look, you're a singer, you know, you dance, you're a comedian. Now you're going to be a movie star. It's like, that's crazy. And I just loved it because I know I've had those conversations with people. I sent some text messages to some people today that I need their help on some of the things that I'm trying to do. And I could just sense the dude, you're crazy in the responses, right? There's been times where I've been told to my face, like, why do you think you can do that? Or here's a nice way people will say it. People will say, wow, you just do stuff, don't you? Yes. I just get up and I go and I do because I'm determined to be successful with the gifts, skills, and abilities that I believe God has given me to be successful with. Sometimes it looks ugly. Sometimes I'm scraping and clawing to get it done. Sometimes I'm testing and trying to figure out if that's something that I'm good at. Sometimes I start out really bad at something and I have to work, you know, hard and harder to get better at it. But I see that in this movie, Dolemite Is My Name. I see the journey. I see going into a situation head first and not really knowing what you're doing, but figuring out along the way. I love that. I can't wait to watch that movie again. I mean, it was such a great movie to be able to see, and such a great story to tell about perseverance, about never giving up, about believing in your dream, about not having it all figured out before you start to do something. I talk to people about some of the things I want to do, and they say, well, how are you going to do this part? How are you going to do that part? And I'm like, I don't know. I remember when I first started my cleaning company back in the day, when I owned a cleaning company, I went out for this big job, right? And it was a 6-figure job. And I knew the money was going to be great, but I also knew that I was going to have to hire like 40 people. And I was talking to an individual about it, and they had a cleaning company too. And I was like, look, we can split it. If we both work on this proposal together, we get this contract, we can split it. You get 50K, I get 50K, or whatever the numbers were at the time. You know, you hire 20 people, I'll hire 20 people. We can split it. And their mindset was just, I don't know how we're going to get 50 people. I don't know how we're going to be able to finance payroll for 50 people, which I want to say are legitimate questions, are super legitimate questions. But this is also what I knew. I knew that if I put myself in a position where a company was going to give me, let's say, $120,000, $140,000 for, let me remind you, 1 month of work. This is just 1 month of work, you know, 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. But 1 month of work, if somebody's going to pay me that kind of money, I will find 50 people and find the money to make sure everything goes smoothly. And long story short, I did. But in that moment, people were saying, dude, you are crazy. Like, why do you think you can do that? Because I can. And I think I can. And I won't know if I can or if I can't until I try it. And so I would highly recommend you go and watch Dolemite. It's right there on your phone. It's right there on Netflix. It's an incredible film. It's not a film that you can watch with your children. If you're not familiar with Dolemite or Rudy Ray Moore, it's not a film. You know, you may want to put the kids to bed or go in another room or whatever you need to do. But man, when I tell you, it's an incredible, inspiring film. When I got done watching it this morning, I looked at Michelle and I said, look, I'm ready for people to start calling me crazy again. I got this list of goals, you know, 300 goals long. And some of the stuff on there is crazy. It's crazy to me. But I'm ready to go after it and go try it and get what I have to get done. Because you only live once, man. And time goes so fast. I'm 32 years old right now. When I think about how fast the 32 years went, if the next 32 years go that way, it's going to be over before I know it. And so there's no point in me wasting time thinking about, man, I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if I could do that. I'm just going to go and do. And, you know, if I fall flat on my face, I fall flat on my face trying. If I fall down, I fall down trying. I'd rather fall down trying than to stand up and never try and wonder what if, you know, maybe I could have. Man, I wish when I was young, I should have did X, Y, and Z. I don't want to have those stories. I hear those stories now, and I'm going to be honest with you. They sound miserable. They sound horrible. It's heartbreaking to hear those stories because now they're too old to do anything about it. At least they think they are, right? So I never want to get in that position. I want to always try to pursue, take it to the next level, elevate, show progress, and I'm going to die on that train. I'm going to die having dreams that I'm still trying to elevate to the next level. I'm going to go as hard as I possibly can and utilize all my gifts, whether it be, you know, podcasting or doing videos or producing for other people, telling stories in whatever manner I can. I'm doing stand up again. So you guys are going to see that. So, yeah, I just want to give it all that I have. And shout out to Eddie Murphy. Who else is in that movie? Craig Robinson, Wesley Snipes, Mike Epps, Keegan-Michael Key. I always say his name wrong. Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah, I said it right. Shout out to all of those people for doing such an amazing film. It was cool to see Eddie Murphy playing someone else doing stand-up. That was hilarious. And Eddie Murphy is coming back to stand-up, which I love as well. And they're working on Coming to America, too. I was watching an interview with Eddie Murphy and Al Roker, and they were talking about his strategy to coming back to stand-up, right? And you got to do the clubs. You got to work out and work on material. But he needed the industry and the fans to see him as a comedian again. Think about how interesting that is. Eddie Murphy, which most people would have on at least their top 10 greatest comedians of all time, didn't want to come off of Mr. Church, which was an emotional film, a serious film, going into stand-up again. He wanted to make sure that you guys saw him as being funny and humorous again prior to him getting back on stage. And so his plan was to release Dolemite Is My Name and Coming to America 2 while rolling out his stand-up special. So if you're thinking about Eddie Murphy's career over the next 2 years or so, you're going to see Dolemite, which is out now. You're going to see Coming to America. I'm assuming between Dolemite and Coming to America, he's going to start hitting the clubs again. So you'll probably see things pop up about Eddie Murphy going back on tour. That's one of the things that's on my list. When he goes on tour, I definitely want to be in attendance. If he goes to Indianapolis or Chicago, better believe I'm going to be there to see Eddie Murphy do stand up. Him, Seinfeld, and Cosby were on my list. I don't think I'm going to be seeing Cosby no time soon. If I see Cosby doing stand-up, something happened. Something happened to me. Check on my wife. Check on my kids. Because if I see Bill doing stand-up, that means that I'm doing the same thing that he's doing right now, which is rotting in jail. All right. Sorry about that. Bad mood. Thinking about stand-up, I watched Arsenio Hall stand-up, who's also in Coming to America, too. And I got to say, it was funny. It was so dope to just hear Arsenio Hall. I think a lot of people had this image of Arsenio Hall, that he was just this clean comedian that never used vulgar language and never cursed because of his show that he had back in the 90s. He really wasn't allowed to do that. He was on Fox. He wasn't on HBO or Cinemax or Showtime. He was on Fox. So to a certain extent, he had to keep it clean. But to hear him get dirty and just tell jokes and be funny and be free, he looked like he really enjoyed it. He integrated some of the characters that from Coming to America that you want him to see. He talked about that. He talked about just his life, people mistaking him for Wesley Snipes and Dennis Rodman. It was a really, really funny stand-up, and I always appreciate stand-up. I always intend to talk more about stand-up on the podcast, and I actually do. But it's just a lot going on right now, and I'm super happy to see all of my heroes, from late night heroes to comedic heroes, getting elevated in such a fantastic way and just continuing to create, right? I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and I'll move on from this, but I don't ever plan on retiring, right? I may stop working traditionally the way that I work now, but I don't plan on retiring, because in a lot of respects, I'm an artist, I'm a creator, and real creators, real artists, do it to the death. Like Eddie Murphy's doing movies right now in retirement. He's like, yeah, I'm kind of semi-retired, man. I'm just doing a couple films here and there. Like, you're just a creative. He's still recording music, right? Eddie Murphy at some point is going to put out an album again because he's still recording music. Creatives do it to the death. And I love to just see some of our favorite creators creating. You know, they have this movie coming out, The Irishman, with Pacino and De Niro again. And Scorsese had to go to Joe Pesci's house and get him off the couch. And Pesci came back and did the film. But they had to go get him because he was retired, right? He was done. But real creatives are never done. Michael Jackson did it to the death. James Brown to the death. Elvis Presley to the death. Like, you have to do it. You have to be in it to be in it forever. And that's the level that I want to be at. I just want to do this forever. In some form or fashion, I have to always continue to be creating. And I hope that you guys stay on this journey with me. And I hope that you come back right after this. It's the In My Own Words podcast. All right, we are back. We got to talk about Kanye. Can we talk about Kanye for a second? A couple weeks ago on this podcast, I said that Kanye West should just shut up and rap. I said he should just shut up and rap. Now, from conversations that I've had with people, a lot of people took that as I didn't want to hear anything from Kanye. And to a certain extent, that's true. The reason why I wanted Kanye to shut up and rap is because I didn't want his shenanigans or whatever speech that he's talking about to ruin the music for me and people like me. So it was very selfish in a way, right? I wanted to be able to just enjoy the music without getting in the way of all the spectacle and all the bullcrap that he spews. I can call it bullcrap because it's my opinion. All the bullcrap that he spews out of his mouth before the music comes out. Artists have a hard time doing this, I'm learning. Wale is an amazing artist, and I will say to Wale's credit, he didn't do that with his last album, which I think is being received better more than any other body of work that he's put out. But before, there was always so much negativity surrounding his release that it overshadowed the music. Nicki Minaj is another example. She put out her last album. I thought the music was actually good, but her shenanigans on her radio show was just so loud that you couldn't hear the music. And Kanye is good for that, right? If I could hear a Kanye album without hearing about MAGA, without hearing about him being the greatest human being to ever live, without hearing about all these preachy things that he has to say, the music would be received better. But now in this day and time, all that's consumed with the music, with the art, all of the hoopla supply around the art is consumed with the art. It's not like back in the day where you go to the record store, you buy a record, and you listen to it, and you can just consume the music for the music. And that was the only narrative, was the singles that you got, the music videos you got, and the music. Now the narrative includes what you tweet, what you Instagram, what you say in all these interviews that you do, all of your rhetoric, all of your shenanigans that you're putting out. All of that is consumed and digested with the music now. And so I did my best when I'm going through this Kanye album, knowing that I'm going to give a two-word album review for the Kanye album, I did my best to try to separate the two, and I think I did. Here's my two-word album review for Kanye West, Jesus is King album. Billionaire Raps. Billionaire Raps. Kanye West raps like a billionaire is supposed to rap. Just think about it right now. If you're an artist, you're doing this, you're watching this show, and you're rapping, you're coming up with Yabble. Think about how you would rap if you have $1 billion. You had $1 billion, chances are you're not going to spend that much time on your raps, because there's some other things that you got to be doing that cause you to get $1 billion, or is going to help you keep $1 billion. Am I wrong in this? If you are a billionaire, there are some things you probably, it's fair to say, you probably have some responsibilities. And most of those responsibilities are probably around people that you put in charge of this empire that you built to create $1 billion worth of wealth, right? Kanye West does not and will not ever rap the way that we used to hear him rap. People wanted the graduation Kanye West. Someone told me, you know what, if the whole Jesus is King album sounds like 11 tracks of Ultralight Beams, I'm all in. Two things about Ultralight Beams. One, Chance had the majority of the influence on that track. I think Chance worked with the background vocalist in the choir. I think Chance obviously had his verse on there. I think his verse was a lot longer than Kanye, so you didn't hear Kanye a lot on there. And Kanye West was drowning in debt at the time, according to him. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in his bank account. But according to him, he was drowning in debt at the time. So when you go from someone who is drowning in debt to someone who is thanking God because he got $68 million back on his tax return, $68 million. You know what I could do with $68 million? He's thanking God for that. He's a billionaire. Life is good. He's given his life to Christ. He's just not going to rap the same. He's going to give you these billionaire raps. He's going to rap to you about Chick-fil-A. And that's exactly what we got on this Jesus is King album. We got some Chick-fil-A. Now, I will tell you, some of the music is really good. One of the best songs on there is the first song on the album. I sing it almost every day. My wife was singing it before she left. What do we notice about that song? Didn't have Kanye on it, did it? No Kanye on that song. Beautifully arranged. The voices sound beautiful. The production, the musicality is great. But no Kanye. Kanye West doesn't care about rap, people. He just doesn't anymore. He only cares about rap as a form of a vehicle to get his messaging across, whatever it is he wants to talk about. That's the only extent that he cares about rap. Now, there's some great moments on this album. One of my favorite moments on the album is the moment with Fred Hammond. Fred Hammond is a gospel music legend, somebody that I grew up on. So to see him mixed with Kanye, and the way that that song came out, I thought was really beautiful. I think that song in itself is a clear, concise explanation of my problem with Christianity. And I won't get too deep into this, but if you listen to that song, you will be able to clearly identify my issue with Christianity. And I can say it in a phrase. There are more Christians turning people away from the faith than there are non-Christians turning people away from the faith. And that song perfectly elocutes that. I love that song. The other song is the song with Ty Dolla $ign. What is it? Everything We Need, I think it's called. That's an amazing song. That's probably the best song on the album. Also, like On God. I think Kanye should take, there's two different ways that Kanye should take. And I think one of the ways he explored a little bit but didn't land on it. And then the other way he just ignored completely. And maybe we'll hear the other way on the Sunday Service album, but There's three ways to do it. It's the way that he did it on Jesus is King, which I think the message is way more important than the music. So the messaging of the album is amazing. I think the music is, specifically his rapping, is definitely subpar rapping. He could take the Kirk Franklin approach. If you guys know who gospel music legend Kirk Franklin is, Kirk is on every song. He's the arranger. He's the writer of every song. But he's not always prominently featured. He is the Diddy of gospel music. Kirk Franklin is the Diddy of gospel music. Every now and then you get a song from him. You may get a verse on a song. He's on there bobbing, dancing, doing the ad-libs. But mostly the choir is the star. Kirk is the star. Don't get me wrong now. But the choir is doing most of the work. That's the approach Kanye needs to take. Kanye needs to be the new gospel Kirk Franklin. He could take that approach. That's the number one approach. That's the approach I would prefer. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is he could go back to a time where he wrote songs like Jesus Walk. He could go back to a time where he was really, really rapping, like trying to go after it. I thought on this album, we would get like some hard, barred up, like, you know, some hard music from Ye where he's really going after it. Like he's really trying to rap, you know, Pusha T maybe writing for him or helping him write. Malice is on the track. If you don't know Malice and Pusha T from Clips, do your research, do your homework. But maybe Malice is there. You got Psy High. If you listen to Psy High's album, it's riddled with Bible verses. It's riddled with religion and Christianity. The album is called No Dope on Sundays, and it starts out with a prayer. Like, you have people around you to utilize those resources. And Kanye is talking about going back to maybe redoing some of his old music. And so I thought that was funny. I started to scour the internet, and I found something that I thought was amazing. And I'm so happy to share it here. I don't think it's been shared anywhere else. My favorite hip hop platforms haven't mentioned it. I've listened to podcasts. They haven't mentioned it on a podcast. And so I think it's safe to say that this is the world premiere of this leaked audio of a reference check for Kanye West that didn't make it to Jesus is King, but could make it to some other project of him redoing some of his old songs. This is called the new God flow.
DJ Bad Night. Exclusive.
Shake that body, party
new
that
Kanye
ball.
West.
Shake that body, party that ball. Shake that
Jesus
body,
King.
Party that ball. Come and have a good time with G-O-D.
I believe there's a God above me. I never worship anything else. I'm dismissive of everything else. New game works for Jesus himself.
DJ Bad Night.
Supreme Hope Dilla. Write it in red letters. They love the Holy Spirit like Pocket the Coachella. They say Jesus ain't fit for the new era. Well, that's cap fitted by new era. I think it's good God
DJ
got
Bad
a hope
Night.
Dilla. A hot temper mixed with marked scriptures. But Jesus' peace was more than just to shine with him. You think we see when Jesus would have had John with him.
Yeah.
Matching white robes with a scroll on them. Printed Jesus and I sold what was sold on them. Turn water into wine, I'ma pour more.
DJ Bad
First
Night.
For Sunday service, now we on tour. Yeah, sinner.
DJ Bad Night.
That's rare, sinner.
Exclusive.
Rick Flair, sinner. Yeah. Whoa.
Jesus is King.
Whoa. This that new God flow.
DJ Bad Night.
So Kim, that she can't be Eve. Don't bite the apple, don't touch that tree. God made fashion design with leaves.
DJ
but y'all made it fashion design by me. Preacher Ye,
exclusive.
Preacher Ye, you know the world is sinners and so we all pray. I never listen what y'all say, unless it's coming from Yahweh. That's all day, we all pray. A wolf in sheep's clothing is what they all say. What's the point of turning around
DJ
if
Bad
you hate from people you should be down with? Think about it, Jesus didn't sit down with Judas, he did it and now we all live.
Yeah.
I'm trying to join the Holy Trinity and if you ain't my friend now, you've never been a friend to me. DJ Bad Night. Jesus is King.
That's the Kanye West we thought we were getting. That's the Kanye West we expected. Where's that Kanye West? Where's that music? That's the music that we thought we were getting. I can tell you where that music is. It's gone. It's in the billions now. It's in the billions. You can't, once your net worth gets over a certain amount, you can't rap like that no more. I remember hearing Eminem talk about, like, sometime he'll just go back to his old neighborhood or he purchased a house back there and he'll just go, like, he can't live so nice when he's going to go back into album mode, right? And it's a wonder how Jay-Z has been able to evolve his music and make it more about the content of today's time, and his lyrical content has kind of grown and developed over the last, 23 years or whatever it's been since Reasonable Doubt was in 96. So 23 years or something like that. It's amazing how he's been able to just kind of move us forward with him. I remember he started talking about rapping about Basquiat's and arts and the mausoleum and all kind of stuff. Like, Hov, what are you talking about, right? But at a certain dollar amount, you can't talk about the things that you used to talk about no more. You got to do something different. And so, shout out to Kanye West for Jesus is King. I do think the music is good. There are some things on there that I still play that I like to listen to that I do check out on a consistent basis. It has nothing to do with his rapping. Some of the songs, I can skip his rap and just get to Ty Dolla $ign or get to Fred Hammond or get to Malice and Push and Kenny G or whatever the case may be. But the old Kanye is dead, folks. He's not coming back. It's billionaire raps from here on out. We got to look to the next one. We got to look to Chance. We got to look to maybe Sci-Hi, whoever put out that reference track. We got to look at them. All right, man, let's do some WOW Awards. I got a WOW Award that I think is pretty incredible. It's pretty sad, though. It's sad because at a certain point, we talked about people getting older in the game. Pusha T's in his 40s. Kanye's in his 40s. Jay-Z is 50-something. People are getting older, and as you get older, you hope to want to evolve. And I talk about being an artist and doing this to the death, but I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If I don't start making progress with this art, but especially by the time I'm in my 40s, I may still create it. Y'all may just not hear about it no more. I'm not going to keep doing, hey, it's in my own words podcast, episode 5,000. I'm 45 now, and I still got, two people listening in every episode. If I had two people listening now, I probably wouldn't keep doing it. But definitely not at 45. And it's funny but sad to see that person that used to be up here, that used to have it all, that people used to clamor for, get to a position where they're doing dumb things for money. When they're doing things that would cheapen their brand for bread. I remember seeing a commercial of Jerry Rice wearing a helmet with a piece of chicken attached to it so he could eat chicken and watch football hands-free. I'm not lying. This isn't a joke. This isn't a bit. This is real. There's a video, a commercial of Jerry Rice eating chicken. The legend Jerry Rice, the wide receiver, the Hall of Famer Jerry Rice, eating chicken stuck on a helmet. I thought that was the worst I've ever seen from a celebrity. I mean, that's worse than Dancing with the Stars. I mean, that's worse than doing the local car dealership commercials, That's a new low. I thought that was the worst until I saw this. You build this legacy, right? And you want to protect it at all costs. You see that a lot. But when the cash get low, you got to do what you got to do. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Sweat, Old Spice. Old Spice, we're here to show you that this is the same. Wow. When I made a sweat, no, I wonder. How can you sing from your gut like that about Old Spice? Wow. I gotta stop it. I was gonna let the whole thing play. I can't even play the whole thing. All I can say to that is,
oh my God! Wow!
I will never be able to hear that song again. Why do a parody commercial of your old song? And it wasn't like he was doing it to be funny. I'm sure it was supposed to be some comedic value, but he didn't do it in a funny way. First of all, if you're going to have Keith Sweat sing and you're going to do a parody of his song, maybe you shouldn't have Keith Sweat sing it. Maybe he should just sign off on it. Maybe he can even help write it. But to sit there and see him singing about Old Spice keeping the sweat off is wow worthy if I've ever seen it. I'm sorry, Keith Sweat. You a legend, but you got to get this wow.
Wow.
That is horrible. Another wow war that I got to give you guys. Another wow war. Kim Kardashian. Now, I've never given Kim Kardashian a wow war before because I think everything she does is wow worthy. There's a lot of things that she does on a daily, weekly basis that I could probably give her an award for because I think it's all faked. But that's another discussion for another day. This thing I didn't have to think was fake. I know it's fake because I can see it with my own eyes. She posted this picture of her family. And I put family in air quotes because we don't know if that was Kanye in that costume or not. It was a costume of somebody that, I don't know, she said it was Kanye. The reason why I can doubt that is because in the family, if you look at the baby in the lower left-hand corner, she was clearly not present for the photo shoot. Yeah, you did a family photo shoot and one of your kids was not present for the photo shoot. Now, I come from a big family. There's 8 of us, right? 10 if you count both of my parents. There are plenty of times growing up where we wanted to take a picture and somebody was at football practice. Somebody was at baseball practice. Now, I need to say that this little kid, this girl, she looks like she's less than 3 years old or maybe right at 3. I don't know. I'm not keeping up with the Kardashians. I'm saying that to say she ain't nowhere by herself. She ain't at football practice. She ain't at cheerleading practice. She's not at the Girl Scouts. She's somewhere where she probably could have been in the photo with you guys. To make matters worse, you could have just left her out the photo and explained to the world why she wasn't there. Or heck, not explained to the world why she wasn't there. Not going to bother you at all. You're Kim Kardashian West. But what you decided to do, I'm so choked up about this, I can't even talk. What you decided to do was choose whackness over wisdom. That's why you're going to get this wow award.
Wow.
She took a picture and very sloppily photoshopped her baby into the picture. If you look close at the picture, you can actually see somebody's hand that was erased halfway away holding up the baby.
Oh my God! Wow!
You mean to tell me your husband is selling $500 Jesus t-shirts and y'all can't afford a good editor for a photo? You mean to tell me this is season 29 of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on E and y'all can't afford somebody to use Photoshop the proper way? How in the world did this pass editing? How y'all gonna act like this didn't happen? Now, I believe that everything they do is fake and fraudulent, right? But this is taking fake and fraudulent to a whole nother level. Y'all putting babies where babies don't belong. And maybe the whole picture is fake. Maybe I'm falling for the Kardashian spectacle marketing right now, right? Maybe they did this just so people can talk about it. But come on, fam.
Oh my God. Wow.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking? I think that was wild worthy. Everybody has a moment where they choose whackness over wisdom, where they know better and they just don't do better. And Kim K, that was your wow moment. All right, guys, I got more I could talk about, but I don't have more time to talk about it. I got to run. I appreciate you guys joining me. Join me next week. We'll have more fun on the In My Own Words podcast. I can't even talk today. It's Walmart got me all messed up. It's the Bad Moves podcast. I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Before you go away, bringing you the new tunes from the BMP. This is Keith Sweat.
Our name's the same.
Why is he singing it like that? It is a game, Keith. It is a game. All right, y'all. Peace.
We're not made of sweat. No, not one drop. But these old spices had just got to stop now. And who defends you like me? And who
was left sweating. Old Spice, leave us alone. Old Spice.